And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Kendall in the White House is having the time of his life in the waning months of his tyranny, dancing the tango while the world burns, as some say, bringing not one but two fuel-guzzling Air Force Ones to serve him and his family in Argentina. Did you know that your president, who is so concerned about the environment, brought along not one but two Air Force Ones? You see, he needed a smaller one, a Boeing 757, so the wife and kiddies could fly around the nation that he is in and visit the sites. Now, it's amazing to me, not that he does this, but that he gets away with it. If you go to your local newspaper, you're not going to see him dancing the tango with some, well, let's just say lady from Argentina, which is no big deal. In normal times, it wouldn't be a big deal. It would be rather delightful to see a president with such deft legs dancing the tango with a pretty lady from Argentina. Do you remember what happened the other day in Europe? Apparently, it didn't affect him at all. He didn't miss a beat. The dance went on. We're looking for a leader to step up and present plans as to how they're going to stop the Islamo-fascists from doing that here again. And here is this man being used as a puppet in the murderous dictatorial regime of Cuba, welcoming criticism of the United States from the totalitarian Castro standing feet from him, who is responsible for the political imprisonment and murder of thousands of innocent Cubans. And while a nation in Europe was being ripped apart by murderous Islamic terrorists, Obama was actually worshiping one, going to a baseball game with him. And did he fly right home afterwards? Did he meet with his security teams to reassure the American people that everything possible is being taken seriously at the highest levels of government, and they're doing everything they can to prevent terror from exerting itself here in America? No, the dilettante flew to South America. And after doing the tango in Argentina last night, the embarrassment of a president, again on foreign soil, apologized for the so-called atrocities Americans have been responsible for, saying we must have the courage to acknowledge our role in rights abuses. Well, we know that America's past is far from perfect, but this nation is still the beacon of light for the rest of the world. This is the place that everyone wants to break into, even Islamo-fascists. They love it here. So why is this imposter doing this? What is he hoping to accomplish? I want to remind you that if you were to imagine the most vulgar Hollywood couple that you could, think of the most vulgar Hollywood couple. Now imagine them in the White House. Could they do more harm to America's honor, traditions, and image to trash the nation and the presidency itself than what this man is doing? Abusing the White House, abusing the presidency, and abusing the nation's honor. The only question is, how does he get away with it? The answer is the same vermin in the media who will not let Donald Trump go have nothing to say about this vandal's behavior. This year I published a book entitled Government Zero. The opening chapter was called A Dance of Death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamo-fascists. Some call me a prophet. I call myself a talk show host, because I'm going to read this to you, and it was written a while ago. Tell me I was wrong, and tell me I didn't see what was going to happen. Page one, Government Zero. There is a dance of death in the West, an actual death in the Middle East, courtesy of the Islamo-fascists. Meanwhile, the Caesar in the White House entertains himself with 1,000 sycophants, partying on behind closed doors, as if the Islamo-fascist hand will not touch him. He thinks he's protected from this new plague, the Black Death of radical Islam. We're facing something the West hasn't had to deal with since the wars of religion in the 16th and 17th centuries. When those religious wars ended up in one place, they began in another. They lasted for over 100 years. The same thing is happening right now. The radical Muslims are on the warpath, and they are against everyone else. They are against Muslims who are not as fanatical. They are against the members of all other religions. They think they are going to take us back to some pristine religious period in human history that never actually occurred. It's all complete rubbish. These faith warriors live lower than the pigs they despise. They kidnap and rape 8-year-old girls and say the Quran authorizes it. They're not purists. They're killers. They're Nazis in headscarves. They aren't leading a religious revival. They're trying to take us back to a state of barbarism that has been extinct for 1,200 years. This is a barbaric revolution. And we have a man in the White House who denies its existence. But whether he chooses to acknowledge it or not, is going to continue until someone puts a stop to it. A writer called the fight against radical Islam the defining conflict of the next generation. He likened a radical Islam to a starfish. When you cut off a spider's head, it dies. But when you cut off the leg of a starfish, the starfish can regenerate it. Radical political Islam is a starfish. If you defeat ISIS or Al-Qaeda, they will merely come back under another name. So why would any government bring in unvetted Muslim immigrants at a time like this? It would seem that only an insane prince would do this to his nation. But Obama is not insane. He's stoned. He's stoned on the orthodoxy of the progressive left. Obama and his supporters are drunk on their ideology. They think they're going to create a progressive utopia by continuing their attack on all Western values. This is precisely how great civilizations of the past declined and eventually fell. They rejected the values that made them great and degenerated into narcissism and selfishness. They kept on partying until they were too weak to defend themselves. And then the unthinkable happened. They fell. We've all seen documentary evidence of the Islamo-fascist thugs in ISIS. We saw it just the other day. And now we see the prince of hatred trashing America on another apology tour. Here he is again. And we the people sit and we ask, how does he get away with it? How does he get to fly his family and his mother-in-law on a vacation that is clearly nothing but a vacation for the girls, the children, so they can have an Easter break at your expense? He takes 2 Air Force Ones, including a baby Air Force One, to fly to the scenic town of Bariloche in southern Argentina. A smaller plane, a Boeing 757, used when traveling to places where the runway is too short for the primary Air Force One. So he brings another one, and he tells us that global warming is a bigger threat to our survival than the danger of Islamofascism. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. If you care to comment on what's going on in the world, including how this man gets away with it, don't bother, because whatever you say has no meaning, because we don't have an opposition party, we don't have a functioning press, we have nothing but a unified Pravda or Izvestia, as exemplified by the boys at CNN or any of the other headline channels. Obama administration reshuffles counterterrorism strategies, reshuffles the cards. Kerry to travel to Brussels this week. EPA chief says climate regs are meant to show leadership, not fight global warming. Meanwhile, Cuban refugees are flooding into Texas during Obama's visit this week to Cuba. Did you know that between October of 15 and Feb of 16, more than 18,500 Cubans arrived in Laredo? Mainly the criminals and those that Castro wants gone. Remember what the Mariel boat lifted to Miami? That's what Castro is doing now. He's getting rid of all the malcontents from Cuba and sending them to America. Meanwhile, Poland has abandoned its pledge to shelter Muslim refugees after the Brussels blasts. Can you imagine? The Polish people have found sanity in a world of insanity? You see, Poland abandoned a pledge to shelter illegal migrants under an EU relocation agreement. The Prime Minister said she's shifting her country's stance a day after Islamic suicide bombers killed dozens of people in the EU's capital. You see, Poland's previous government agreed to host several thousand illegal aliens under a deal forged by the EU's 28 member states to address the hundreds of thousands of mostly Muslim refugees who have fled the Middle East and overrun Europe. And they used an executive over rule of law and other issues since the EU took power. You see, the EU is the new Soviet Union. What you don't understand is that the Soviet Union has reemerged, and this time it's larger than it was when it existed run out of Moscow. The new EU is run out of Brussels. And isn't it ironic that all of these good liberals, these do-gooders in Brussels, were bombed by the very people they have flooded into Europe? Well, Poland saw it. And the head of Poland said, I will be very clear, at the moment I don't see a possibility for migrants to come to Poland, he told television on Wednesday. He later told journalists that the government can't allow for events in Western Europe to happen in Poland. I guess the Polish people, being, let us say, not as advanced or as sophisticated in some ways as their counterparts in other European capitals, I guess the Polish people still have a shred of survival left in them. 855-407-282. It's a very, very troubling day in America if you open your eyes. If you're blind, deaf, and dumb, it's a great world. If you're blind, deaf, and dumb, it's a wonderful world. You open up your local newspaper. Here we have one called the San Francisco Chronicle, a wholly owned mimeograph sheet of Willie Brown, Dianne Feinstein, and Nancy Pelosi. There is not one mention of the terror bombings in Brussels. There is not a picture of a Muslim. There is no connection to Islam. There is nothing related to the bombing. It's the same old rubbish that they have been feeding the progressives in the San Francisco gray area. Phone number here is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. Let's take some calls. WJR, Rashid, welcome to the program. What's on your mind, Rashid?
What's on my mind is I listen to you now, and you make great points, and then you say something that infuriates me. And, yeah.
And what am I supposed to do now? What infuriated you today, Rashid?
It's not just today, because I listened to you yesterday. So it's kind of mixed emotions with you. But I just want to say you're talking about the Syrian...
Rashid, could you please make your point simply because you're breaking up?
Okay. The millions of Arabics who were let in before Barack, what you call a liberal, ever took office. So what if the attack that comes to America that possibly could comes from an Arabic person who has been here for 20 or 30 years? Then do you blame Barack and the supposed, as you call them?
Well, I do blame Barack because he's not investigating those who are here who are following the radical branch of Islam, which is responsible for these attacks. We well know that there are radical mosques in this country with hate preachers. You know that, and I know that. And if we had a legitimate government, they would not permit this. So there's my answer to your concern.
Okay, well, you saying they wouldn't permit this, maybe, but what about what has already been permitted before he ever took office?
And I understand, but if we're in an age of terror that is obvious to anyone who sees it, you see it yourself. You sound like a man who certainly is not on the wrong side of things. You know that there's good and bad in all religions, and you also know that there are hate preachers right now preaching hatred right in your city who should be outlawed. The fact of the matter is they're outlawed in liberal France, but they're permitted to spew their hatred to America and frankly encourage death and dying to everyone around them right in this country, Rashid.
Understandable. And Savage, you said yesterday that the Eddies are woke up, the middle-aged American white men. I just want you to know that you better believe the 37-year-old black man who grew up in the same country you do and I love is paying very close attention to the things that are going on. So it's not just about the Eddies. It's also about the Rashid. And it's wonderful.
But Rashid, you are Eddie. Eddie is just a name. Eddie has other names. Eddie is also Rashid. I'm not blind to who will fight fascism when the time comes. I'm not blind to the history of this country's warriors. I'm not blind who won all of the medals and what religions and races they come from, Rashid. Eddie is a name applied to all the men in America who will not go down without a fight and will win at the end of the day by killing those who would kill their families. And Rashid, I consider you to be Eddie. And thank you very much for paying such close attention. I hope in the coming days you have less anger towards me and more admiration. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO.
I also think that one of the great advantages of the United States system, even though it's very frustrating sometimes for the president, is that power is distributed across a lot of different institutions. It's what we call separation of powers and decentralization. This makes it hard sometimes for America to change as rapidly as we need to respond to change circumstances or
problems. Okay, you get it. See, separation of powers is just meddlesome for him. I mean, he's so busy dancing the tango, flying there with two Air Force Ones, flooding America with diseased and criminal refugees as fast as he can. Now, that's quite a statement, isn't it? Diseased and criminal refugees. Go prove it, Savage. Well, here's a little article from the radical right-wing Washington Post. You heard me. The extreme right-wing Washington Post. Headline, TB cases increase in U.S. for first time in 23 years. The number of TB cases in the U.S. rose last year for the first time in nearly a quarter of a century. The once great CDC and Prevention reported Thursday. A resurgence of one of the world's deadliest diseases. Now, I wrote about this in Immigrants and Epidemics. You can read about it in my current ebook on how to fortify your immune system. Ignore it, if you will. I could care less. I've noticed this for over 40 years in my field. But where are the cases coming from? Oh, here they are. Two-thirds of the new TB cases were among people born abroad. Abroad, that's an antiquated term. They mean Asians, accounting for the most part. And the highest rate of 28 cases per 100,000 were among Asians. They mean Chinese mainly, because it's endemic in China. By comparison, there were only 5 cases per 100,000 amongst whites last year. Well, it shows whites are racist because they won't engage with tuberculosis.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
So the tango, the dance of death, goes on with the band leader enjoying himself with the wife and kiddies and mother-in-law, two Air Force Ones in South America, and no reportage of it in the liberal press. Now, imagine if George Bush, at a time like this, wouldn't come home from a vacation with Laura and the daughters. Remember those days? And he took two Air Force planes to South America, and a terrorist attack occurred in Europe, and he wouldn't come home? Can you imagine what Jake Tapper would be doing today? Like the little woodpecker in a suit that he is? Or Wolf, the stealth evil one, Blitzer? What he would be saying? He'd be sputtering. His glasses would be smoked over. But it's not one side of the aisle. It's both sides, as you know, are totally corrupt. Do you remember the story of Solyndra years ago? In 2011, it was a solar startup, one of the most corrupt companies in history. There was a federal loan guarantee to them of $500 million. $500 million Obama gave them to build a solar plant. Federal loan guarantee. And what happened is Solyndra went bankrupt. The FBI rushed in, seized all the papers, and there was never an investigation. Remember we said? I said on the radio, I said, wow, that's great. The FBI is going to grab the papers before they shred them. And someone called me and said, no, Mike, the FBI is grabbing the papers so no one knows who stole the money. To this day, no one's gone to jail. Well, now let's fast forward and see what happened. Solyndra went bankrupt. $500 million was stolen by gangsters. And take a guess what's happening now. The man who was behind it is now being courted by Republicans for a new company he just created. He's raising money for them. Fundraising approach, that's him. His name is Spinner. And the Republicans are running after him. Mr. Spinner is a white knight for the Washington establishment. 5 years ago, Republicans were screaming about him, trying to drive him out of town. After Obama's election, he took a job in the U.S. Department of Energy. He was on a team that awarded $30 billion in stimulus grants and loans to promising clean energy companies. Now, that $30 billion was largely a slush fund for green gangsters. They are more criminal than the five families ever were in the history of America. They stole more money than all of the underworld ever stole that I know of in any one time period. But they did it without firing a shot because they had a man in the White House. And then there was this guy named Spinner. And now he's here. And Spinner joined the DOE after the decision to fund Solyndra had already been made. And Romney, if you remember that corrupt man, Romney the Evil, who was campaigning to stop Obama's second term, made a big issue of Solyndra's bankruptcy the centerpiece of his indictment, a symbol of Obama's supposed perfidy and incompetence. Remember that? The media went crazy. Well, that man, Spinner, is back. And he's created a new company called RevUp. And many Republicans are signing on with RevUp. What does that tell you about why Trump is surging? Because he's going to put a stop to this, and people like this will no longer be in business. This cuts across all races. It cuts across all, I think, all party lines. It's an important story. I'll show you what else is going on. I went on a walk this morning in a mall that had not yet opened, an outdoor mall. It was before all the stores opened. Sometimes I like to do that. And there was a little protest in front of some construction, in front of Restoration Hardware. It was a large black man standing there handing out flyers. There was no one there to take them, but I decided to ask him what it was about. So I walked by with my little dog, and I said to the guy, "What's going on?" And he quietly said to me, "Look, here I'm here because there's a labor dispute." I said, "Well, what is it?" And the flyer says, "Shopper beware. Restoration Hardware is building a new store in the village at Corte Madera and failed to require prospective general contractors and all of their subcontractors to pay carpenter area standard wages and benefits on all jobs all of the time." Wow. You're kidding me. So I said to the worker, the black guy, I said, "You mean they're hiring illegal aliens as carpenters at half the price?" He says, "Yes, man, that's what they're doing." So it shows you that I'll reach out wherever I am to learn what's going on. And what this administration and this country is doing and these businesses are doing to the working man is why Trump is surging. Whether he can stop this, whether he can reach Gary Friedman, chairman and CEO of Restoration Hardware, and the other companies that are using non-union labor, I don't know. But I do know that something has to be done or there's going to be no country left at all. And I believe it will happen. I personally believe it will happen. That opens up 53 lines at 855-407-282. No, I have no open lines. You can hear my voice is different. I'm not under the weather. I'm perfectly healthy. Thank you. If you're interested. But my moods can be reflected through this microphone real good. I have no flashing lights. I have no skirts next to me with lipstick and high heels to distract you from my mood. So all I have is me. I'm in me and the microphone. This is my only instrument. And I'm not really up right now. I'm down. And why I'm down is because the country is so sad to live in. When I see a criminal like this in the White House getting away with spitting on the nation and not a word in the media, I get sick. That's why, if you want to know, the slush that comes out of the media, the slush that passes for news gets me ill. Now, don't call me or email me or text me, please. I'm just telling you what's going on. Now, for years, I've been trying to warn the country about immigrants and epidemics. Years. 25 years. And now we see that the number of TB cases has swelled for the first time in 23 years. Exactly what I predicted. And most of them are coming in from Asians. Asian immigrants who are not being screened. And most of the states with them, the states with the highest amount of TB, the highest rate of TB is California, Texas, Florida, and New York. Asian immigrants account for most of the new cases. And many of you don't want to hear about that, but you see, tuberculosis is not evenly distributed around the world. In fact, tuberculosis was once a deadly disease that was quite common in America, but it was largely wiped out. And then it came back with open borders and no screening of the immigrants. TB is resurging in the United States of America. And would you think that Governor Jerry Brown would take a note of this and try to protect the people of the state? No, because it's more voters for the socialist, Democrat, criminal machine that runs the state. And where it ends, nobody knows. South Carolina experienced a 32% increase in TB year over year. One state after the other. China, India, Mexico, Philippines, and Vietnam are the countries responsible for more than half of the foreign-born TB patients in the U.S. Let me repeat them for you. China, India, Mexico, the Philippines, and Vietnam are sending their diseased TB patients to the United States of America. There's also a huge active tuberculosis rate among foreign-born temporary workers. Oh, yeah. No TB screening is required, just as there's no terrorist screening required for Muslims coming from the Middle East. There's no TB screening required for people who are coming here as temporary workers. And so the businessmen, they don't care if they have TB and give it to someone else on the work site. But it's happening. In one case, a 49-year-old man from the Philippines. See, TB is endemic in the Philippines as well. He arrived in April 2012 on a temporary visa to work as a butcher at a resort restaurant on Mackinac Island, Michigan. Now, the island had a population of only 500. They hadn't seen a TB case since 1995. Well, when the resort closed in October, the Filipino man relocated to California, and he was admitted to the hospital in May of 2013 with a cough, weight loss, chills, and fever. Well, after the gentleman from the Philippines was diagnosed with tuberculosis, so-called authorities tried to track down 68 employees who came in contact with the Filipino. But you see, 35 had left the state. And of the remaining 32, 13 were considered to have latent TB infection, the report said. Well, you see how it goes. But don't pay much attention to it. The important thing is to know whether Obama stepped on the dancer's toes while doing the tango. So you see why I'm a little depressed, a little agitated? Where do I go with my knowledge and my rage? I'm lucky I have a radio show. I'm lucky I write books that you read. Otherwise, I think I would have gone crazy by now. I have men who stop me and say, Savage, don't stop because you will go crazy if you have to live the way I do, with it all pent up in me. I'm going to snap if this goes on any longer. Well, I get it. Not everyone is as dumb, deaf, and blind as the San Francisco Chronicle would like to think. Even in the Bay Area, there are people who know what's going on. Well, here we are, my friends. It's time to talk about food. It's lunchtime for me. It's about a quarter to the hour. And I just sent my worker out for lunch. Again, I'm making the same mistake I meant after my diet. I sent him to the Japanese. I said, okay, but cut out the sushi. I am not eating any sashimi or sushi ever again. I've made this commitment before. From sushi with fish, I get pinworms, which I don't need. From sashimi, sashimi's raw fish, never eat it as long as you live. Never. Don't eat it. It's poison. How this food ever took off in America, I'll never I do understand. I go into these Japanese restaurants, and I see people feeding their boys vegetarian sushi. And as you know, there's no food value in vegetarian sushi to speak of. Nothing. You see, growing boys who need large portions of protein, B vitamins, iron, eating sushi like little girls, nibbling at a plate of sushi so their mommy thinks that they're good boys. And the boys have no brain energy. They become absolutely incapable of thinking. And so there it is. I won't eat that stuff anymore. The other day I went back to my friend's restaurant in North Beach, Pinocchio, where the food is not a long nose. And I had Italian food. I like European food because I'm of European origin. I find I can't eat cat chop suey anymore. They closed a Chinese restaurant down up in Novato not too long ago that they found cats in the freezer. Did you know that? I guess that's racist to mention it. It's not implying at all chop suey has cat in it, but it's happened more than once. And I suppose as someone interested in public health, I would say be on the lookout for buffet food. When it's called chicken, it may not be chicken. It could be another species. That's what goes on in America where there's no food inspection whatsoever. There's no immigrant inspection. There's no food inspection. There's no government vetting of employees who work for them in the intelligence community. There's no nothing. It's each man for himself. And so what do? We retreat behind closed doors. We try to tend our own gardens. And we pray to a better, that a better day comes tomorrow. And I believe that Trump is going to give it a good shot. I know that the Republican establishment will steal it from him if they can, and I don't know what might happen if they do. In fact, last night I was interviewed by a writer, strangely enough, from the New York Times, who said an article will be out this weekend about the power of radio talk show hosts in the coming election. He said, I agree. He was a younger writer. I won't mention his name. I don't know if the article's coming out. I don't know if it'll be positive or negative, but I decided to take a chance with him, as I once did years ago in the New Yorker. And he seemed reasonable. What do I know what he's going to write? But the thing is, he was very curious about the coming election and the power of talk radio. And he said, you people in the top tiers of talk radio have almost more, you have more power in this election than almost any other force in this country right now. I said, that's interesting. It's probably true. And he said, well, what's going to happen? He said, if the Republican establishment steals the nomination from Donald Trump. And I was very clear with him. I said, there will be no rebellion. There'll be a lot of grumbling. There'll be no shooting. The Eddies are not going to pull out their guns and go on a rampage. I think he was surprised to hear that. Because I think many people think that Eddie is so fed up that Eddie's going to go on a rampage, that there'll be shooting and this and that. There won't be. No. Eddie's very docile. He takes it out on a shooting range. Last night I was bored, so I watched the shooting show. I found the channel as a complete shooting channel. It was amazing to watch the target shooting, how good some of these guys are. I was really impressed, to be honest with you. And all I could think of was the waste of lead. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I could ask you, what would you do if they steal it from Trump? What if Trump does not get the number of delegates required, and they steal it from him and give it to a stooge? What if they give it to a stooge like Romney in order to throw it to Hillary? What if they give it to a stooge? You name the stooge, any of the Republican stooges. Kasich the stooge, Ryan the stooge, Romney the stooge. They can give it to a homeless bum in the street rather than Trump. Well, what would you do then? What are you going to do? I want to have some fun right now. Years ago, I wrote a book called The Political Zoo. Now, for those of you who understand it, it was funny. It was a funny book. And I used satire to describe all of the political and media figures of the time with Latin names, a common name and a Latin name. And I want to maybe do a sequel. And so if I would do a sequel, I would add Marco Rubio, Double Talkus, Ice Cream Manus. I would include Chris Christie, Rotundas, Bridges to Forests. Joe Biden, Crack Potus, Overbitius. Valerie Jarrett would be Iranian Plantus. Mitt Romney would be Nice Gaius Phallus. I'd put in John Boehner, Clinking Meltus, the melted ice cube. Or there would be Ted Cruz, Coffea Americus Blandus, the bland American coffee bean. Ann Coulter would be in there. She'd be Screechus Righteous. You remember Eric Cantor? He'd be in there. He'd be Bagelus Stalus. The stale bagel. So here's the question of the day. Play the game with me, those of you who understand Latin binomials. What would the common and Latin binomial name be for Barack Obama? What would the common name be that you'd put in the political zoo? And what would his Latin binomial be? Maybe it's too much. Who knows? This is the Savage Nation, 855-407-282. And the Republicans are getting ready to steal it from the American people once again. And that's what's going to happen. I want to know what's going to happen when that happens. Tell me what's going to happen if that happens and when that happens. Or is Trump a big enough boy to handle it himself? See, I actually think he's not going to let it happen. And I think his team is so tough and so smart that they're going to outmaneuver the Republican thieves. And that if he does win the delegates, he's going to get the nomination no matter what the thieves do, like Priebus, who should be in prison if he does this. See? It is the Savage Nation. Back in a minute.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
As I got older, I found that men would whistle at me or make comments about how I looked as I walked down the street, as if my body were their property, as if I were an object to be commented on instead of a full human being with thoughts and feelings.
I'm the grieving woman.
I began to realize that the hopes I had for myself were in conflict with the messages I was receiving from people around me. Messages that said that as a girl, my voice was somehow less important. That how my body looked was more important than how my mind worked. That being strong and powerful and outspoken just wasn't appropriate or attractive for a girl.
She's almost in tears. You know, you would think she was suffering down there in Argentina. I mean, her old man brought two fuel-guzzling planes to serve as Air Force One, one for himself and one for the family. I don't know what's so hard down there for her. She was weeping about what? How men whistled at her? In South America, she's telling him that story? In that macho Argentina, she's telling him about that to the gauchos? Unbelievable to me. She says, I experienced sexism when men catcalled me. Are these people crazy? Did they not understand, you know, there was a story about this hundreds of years ago during Marie Antoinette's reign of terror in France where she said, let them eat cake. Here is this spoiled brat flying around the world at taxpayer expense on a junket, a vacation that has no business at all, no business whatsoever. And it's strictly because their children are on spring break. And her husband won't even come home after a terror attack, a major terror attack. Not even a minor one. And instead of talking about how girls are being treated by Muslims in the Middle East, how Yazidi girls are being raped around the clock by the Islamic State and how we're going to stop them, she talks about how men whistled at her when she was a young girl. I don't know whether they're actually demented or they really believe any of this stuff. All I know is that I feel obligated to tell you about it. Welcome to the call. Gary, WABC, let's go to the callers. What's on your mind, Gary?
Yeah, Savage, you know, I listened to your demo tape the other day, and I heard a man of, you know, hope and a spark, and there was a brightness to it, you know, and I hear your voice now, and it's not because you're old, it's older, it's the weight of the world, you know, I can hear the pain. Well,
did you hear yesterday's show when I was full of anger and rage?
No, the rage is, you know, that's good. There was a dynamic.
No, but wait, I need to know. Did you hear yesterday's show and the day before what I said about the Islamo-fascists? I need to know if you heard that energy.
Yes, I did.
All right, so what you're hearing today is a different voice. I'm a little tired. I am exhausted. I'm exhausted from the charade called the election. How much of this filthy garbage can we listen to anymore? What country am I living in with a fake election going on? Around the clock, primaries and town halls and Wolf Blitzer and the naked girls on Fox News and lipstick and shoes. How much can anyone take of this crap?
It's too much, man. It's too much.
Okay, there you go. No, don't confuse my moods with my actual state of mind. I'm just a moody guy like, you know, weather changes, I change. You know anyone who's consistent in their emotions, then they're probably on medication. Or they're not worth talking to begin with because they're not really alive. People who are alive fluctuate in their emotions and in their mental states. That's simple. Of course, the doctors would lie to you and tell you you're supposed to be a single entity all the time, which is nonsense, not part of the human condition. So what would you like to talk about? Obama tangoing while the world burns? Michelle complaining about men whistling at her when she was young? U.S. Marshals arresting 13,000 in a sweep targeting the worst violent offenders? Well, we could talk about it. It can be positive, negative, whatever you want. I got some callers on the Latin names for Obama. Who's got the best one? WVNN in Alabama. Tom, if I were to revise the political zoo, what name should I give Barack Obama?
Dr. Savage, for our fearless leader, his name should be Barry DeHimatutis. Puppetus.
You mean Barius, not Barry. It has to be in a kind of Latin binomial. Barius Dimitutis Papadis.
It would be.
So you're implying that according to Muslim tradition, he's a dhimmi.
I believe, yes, he's a dhimmi, and he's a puppet of George Soros and the other crazy people that are trying to run this world.
Why does, you know, I thought about that on my bike ride this morning. Why does that evil man, George Soros, want chaos in the Western world? And I realized what it was. It's strictly for a financial gain. He only makes money when currencies fluctuate. Remember, he's a currency trader, George Soros. He made his fortunes by betting up and down against currencies. He's a hedge fund operator against currencies. So he buys long and he protects himself on the shorts. And sometimes he'll short a currency. And in order to make sure that currency goes down in value, he has to cause an upheaval in that nation. So he's one of the most evil manipulators in the history of the world. If we had a legitimate world government, he would have been rounded up by Interpol. He'd be behind bars, in my opinion. And all of his assets would be seized from his children. But other than that, I have no opinion on George Soros. Thank you. What actually, was he in my book years ago? Let me dip back and see if I had him in there. I want to see. There are people in there who are no longer in politics. They're either gone from the political scene, or they're forgotten from the political scene, like Jacques Chirac. No one knows him. Who did I just mention already? My mind just... What person was I just talking about? Soros. George Soros. Here, George Soros. Here he is, George Soros, page 322. I'm not selling a book because you can't even buy it. It's a collector's item. You have to find it on the Internet. Here it is. In the political zoo, I had an artist draw a picture of a centipede with his face on it, with eyeglasses, with two feelers coming out of his face. And I named him Leechus Omnipotentum. In the same phylum as the Magyar maggot, the Budapest centipede is an insidious invertebrate that has hundreds of hands, all of them out and in other people's business. Although the Budapest centipede is, of course, native to Hungary, Buddha is the Magyar word for lefty, pest is the Magyar word for pest. This particular pest has migrated to the United States, where it has become a primary source of energy and resources for native animals of the porno belts on the east and left coasts and native potheads everywhere. Seemingly benign to naive scientists, who often mistake it for a friendly caterpillar, the Budapest centipede is a voracious parasite that, if not controlled, can pick 100 pockets simultaneously. As we speak, it is spreading across the country, infesting American homes and eating through their foundations. This small but ambitious bug also travels to the Caribbean, where it has established its own sanctuary to prevent attacks from the even more predatory insects of the IRS. So that's George Soros, who I call the poster boy for campaign finance reform. The man who sought single-handedly to buy George Bush out of office is one of the richest men and biggest pests in America. I don't want to read it to you. You want a definition of parasite? Here it is. When this bilious billionaire escaped the Soviet occupation of his native Hungary at the age of 16, the country that took him in was none other than merry old England, the country that also took in Karl Marx. Didn't they learn? Budapest worked hard and graduated from the London School of Economics, where he studied the host country's vulnerabilities long and hard. And that's how the centipede operates. You let it into your home, give it warmth, feed it greens, and yet it still starts eating through your floors and your walls until the foundation buckles. The structure comes tumbling down, and the Budapest centipede worms his way to another host. For the Democrats, this pest is pure role model. Budapest later pulled the same type of maneuver in both Malaysia and Thailand, where a Thai source said, "We regard him as a kind of Dracula. He sucks blood from people." Yep, George Soros, the centipede, is a sucker, all right. But you're an even bigger one if you think that he's in this for anyone but himself. Now, you know why I'm reading about this evil parasite? It's because he funded the recent Occupy movements. He funded the Black Lives Matter movements. He was responsible financially for the burning of Ferguson, Missouri. He was in large part responsible for funding the thugs who burnt Baltimore to the ground. Yes, my friends, there are consequences when you let pests rage through your nation. 855-407-282 is the phone number. Let's go to the callers. Line 9, Paul, welcome to the Sabbath. Where's Line 9? Paul from WABC, what's your gripe, Paul?
Savage, I'd like to wish you a happy Purim. And I noticed that today...
Can you do me a favor? Stop. You're calling to complain now. You're making believe you're calling. But go on, please.
No, I'm just going to wish you a happy Purim. And I know it's very easy to get a hold of you because because not a lot of Orthodox Jews are listening. So I want to wish you a happy Purim. And I would like you to come to my house for Shabbat.
Can you stop with this personal garbage already? Stop it. I don't know you from a hole in a wall. So what are you calling about?
What purpose is your life other than to argue that politics is boring and this is that? Just come find Judaism. You're searching.
Will you stop already with the Purim already? I'm not 4 years old with a hat on my head eating sweets. Stop with the old holidays that have no meaning. You got a Haman in the White House and you're talking about King Haman like a fool. Why don't the Orthodox Jews wake up already to the real Haman in the White House?
Scream and yell.
Why are you celebrating the overthrow of someone in Persia 1,000 years ago? What does that do for you?
Because the Jews were able to... What does that do for us? Because the Jews were able to survive and live again and do mitzvahs, which makes the world a better place, Dr. Savage.
Really? And what's going on now? What are the Jews doing today?
God in this world. You always say, Dr. Savage, that there's God...
No, you're not answering me. You're living in the past. You're living in a fable. You're living in a fantasy like you're 4 years old. What is the point of getting drunk on Purim? What are you celebrating?
We're celebrating that we survived so we could be able to serve God with enjoyment.
Well, wonderful. I'm glad you're serving God. Then why don't you serve God with the truth? And why don't you work to overthrow King Haman in the White House?
But because people try. What can we do to overthrow King Haman in the White House, Dr. Savage?
Well, how about talking about it? How about talking about how abusive he is and how he is the worst friend of Israel in the history of the presidency? Why did you support him?
I don't support him. I can't stand him. I support Donald Trump. What does that mean, support him? I don't know who... Very few people support him. Very few Orthodox Jews support him. I don't know about George Soros and the liberal leftists.
All right. Oh, good. You're making a clear defining line. I forced you to think today instead of getting drunk on mushka and dancing like a four-year-old and eating sweets and going into a diabetic coma. So I did a mitzvah for you.
When you sit and you hide with your dog all day, stop it already. You're not going to do anything. The reason why we start by Purim is because it's a nace that happened to the Jewish people, and that...
It's nonsense to live in the past. That's my opinion. Live in the present better. You'll do better in life. Celebrate something about today instead of yesterday, and please don't make the Holocaust your whole existence. See, this is my problem with the whole Jewish thing, is that you define the religion today by events that occurred so long ago that have no meaning. You talk, for example, at Passover about how Jews were slaves in Egypt, right? Why don't you talk about the slaves right now in the Middle East who are being enslaved by Muslims? Maybe that would be something that the liberals ought to put into their Haggadah. How this president enables the kidnapping and enslavement of Yazidis and non-Muslims in the Middle East. Then I would say the religion has some relevance today. Otherwise, it's just an ossification of no meaning whatsoever. That's why so many young people are running away from it. They want meaning. They want presence. They want knowledge. It doesn't mean the religion has to be defined by the past, does it?
Religion doesn't have to be defined by the past. Religion definitely has to be defined by the past. What would it be without our forefathers? You're saying that religion has to be defined by the past. Should not be defined by the past. Of course it should be defined by the past. How else would we be able to look back at what the greatness of what our forefathers did and accomplished?
Yeah, but if you keep looking back, how are you going to move forward?
If everything's about the present, Dr. Savage, then what is your life? You have no life. You don't look to your forefathers. You basically don't believe there's anything to celebrate about the past. So your whole life is San Francisco.
Well, I don't believe in marching around talking about King Haman being overthrown and eating rotten candy and drinking cheap vodka with a bunch of people dancing about the past. No, I don't. Now, if that gives you meaning, God bless you. We live in a crazy country, so if you want to keep dancing and holding hands and going in circles and dancing about King Haman, I'm not going to say anything about it, but I think you're being foolish. Talk about King Haman in the White House abusing America today and abusing the world today. Then I would say the religion has some meaning right now. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO-America while the world burns. Understandably enjoying himself. Brought two Air Force Ones with him, one for himself, one for the family, to fly to smaller locations. And having a good time. And she gives a speech in Argentina saying that she experienced sexism when she was young because men whistled at her. And the world goes on. So I had a caller who just condemned me for not enjoying my life. I don't know what he was calling about. Some Orthodox Jewish guy. I respect the religion very much, but the holidays are largely add-ons, like Purim. I hear about Purim. Even as a child, I didn't like the word. A, I don't like sweets, and B, I don't like talking about fairy tales. I was always a realist. So when I hear grown people telling me that they celebrate Purim, what is it about? What is it about? They're dancing about the overthrow of King Haman, going back thousands of years. It was not in the Bible. So what does it mean to me? Today is Purim, and a lot of Orthodox Jews are not working. They're getting drunk and eating candy. I have no idea why to celebrate something that happened thousands of years ago. We're going back to what year now? Temple 371, the Persian Emperor Cyrus permitted the Jews to return to Judah and rebuild a temple. But the construction was halted the next year when the Sumerians persuaded Cyrus to withdraw permission. Ashgaravash II of Purim upheld the moratorium only in 353. 7 years after the destruction, did the building of the temple resume under Darius II? So what is it? I don't understand why I care about that. Many of these holidays are for children, to give them some sense of their heritage. I understand that. But for grown-ups to be sucked into this and dance like it has meaning, I don't know. I don't have any meaning for this stuff. This meaning has no stuff. This stuff has no meaning for me. None. None whatsoever. And I don't know why people get angry at me. What are they celebrating? What are they actually celebrating today? Why don't they talk about the destruction right now that is being wrought upon the world by the dictator in the White House?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, we're at the halfway point of the show on this Thursday. It's kind of the post-primary, you know, letdown. I mean, what do you want me to do, talk about the primaries again? You already forgot the bombing in Europe. That never happened. The dancing president, that's all. Two Air Force Ones didn't make it to the Chronicle. People are liable to say, ooh, I wonder why he took two airplanes to Argentina. They don't even put it in the newspaper here, Nancy Pelosi's backyard. You know, that's then another rotten lunch here. What I sacrifice for this show, all right, it's my business. No one forced me to do it. I haven't had a decent lunch between Monday and Friday for the last 4 years. You can't eat. It's impossible. I have to eat during a meal out of a cardboard box. And the diets I put myself on, otherwise I'd be dead altogether. I've been on a diet my whole life. It's only by dieting that I'm still living. I don't mean like weight loss. That's never been anything I paid attention to. I've always avoided, for 40 years, mega doses of vitamins, going back to 1970, 69, when I learned a lot about it and wanted to live. It's a long time. Low saturated fats, not so much worried about cholesterol. Saturated fats are the problem, but that's a whole story unto itself. And salt is a killer. My God, what it does to you. You know, I never cook with, I know you're saying, what is he doing now? I'd rather talk about that than about the news of the day. For 40 years, I avoided salt when I cooked at home with the children. No salt in the foods, ever. So as a result, I've developed an extremely sensitive osmotic pressure in my body. And I don't like salt. It affects me deeply. So lately, I've been eating too much garbage from the restaurants. It's all salted to death to cover up that it's tainted. What do you think they use salt for in spices? Hey, try the oregano. Let me put a garlic on it because the fish is 4 days old. The meat could be, God knows, killed a year ago in someone's backyard and frozen. You know, I spoke to a guy in a restaurant. You won't believe this. I like calamari. It's considered treif to Jews. I love calamari. It's squid. Very healthy animal. Healthful animal, pardon me. So years ago, I used to eat a lot of calamari. I'd buy it fresh in the fish markets here in the San Francisco area. It all came from Monterey. I'd buy it fresh. I'd clean it in the sink. It was a mess. Well, the poor things, you had to open them up and they take out the squid blood and then take out the no spine, of course, it's an invertebrate, but the cartilage, a mess. Then I'd fry them up in olive oil and red wine, and it was just amazing with pasta. I lived on it for, you know, off and on for years. You can't get calamari from Monterey, more or less, here in the San Francisco area. To show you how sick this is, the global economy, you can see it in a piece of squid. Here's what goes on. The fishermen catch the squid here in California. They flash freeze it. It's put on ships. It's sent to China in a frozen form. In China, they defrost the squid. The Chinese workers, for 10 cents a day, clean the squid. After the squid's cleaned, they refreeze the squid, put the frozen blocks of squid back on a ship, send it back to San Francisco, then defrost the squid that came from here, and they sell it as fresh frozen. I don't eat it anymore. My skin itches from it. You don't freeze and unfreeze and freeze and unfreeze food, and expect it to be any good. I don't eat it anymore. Yeah, I don't know where to get it fresh. Some say it's fresh. I don't believe it. Food today is very hard to get, really fresh food. And that's why I try to eat organic food. But how much of that is corrupt? What? Organic. Everything's organic. And the phrase itself is stupid. All food is organic if it has carbon in it. And anything that was alive has carbon in it. So what do I mean by organic? I love the idiots. Well, I'm eating organic. Eating organic. You mean, what do you mean by that? How you know it's certified organic? Oh, it's certified by who? By Jerry Brown's agriculture department. What corruption? It's like, you know, solar energy plants. Oh, if you ever looked into the billions that were stolen by congresswomen's in-laws, your hair would stand up. But, nah, don't pay attention to that. Pay attention to Trump. Don't look at what they're doing here in the Bay Area with the gangsters in the solar industry are beyond comprehension. No, don't pay attention to any of that. Only look at Trump. Call him every name under the sun. Two Air Force Ones to Argentina for sightseeing while on an apology tour. Did he bring his dog with him? Where is that dog? I know Bo was used for a while during campaign stops. I don't see much about the dog. Maybe they have about 15 handlers for the dog at your expense left back in Washington. Maybe they made someone with a Medal of Honor clean up the dog crap with a New York Times plastic bag. That would be appropriate for them. Oh, did they abuse the guys that worked for them? God. All right, what do you want to talk about? The past, today, tomorrow? Oh, I got people now mad at me about the Purim comments. I think it's as good as any. So let's take the Purim supporters. We have Purim supporters calling. Boris on WABC, go ahead. What's your topic?
Hello. Listen, I want to talk to you. What we have over here is a situation. The test of a masterpiece is that it lasts with time, okay? The Jewish people last with time. They lasted with many, many years of suffering, okay? And you also want to understand something very important, okay? The Jewish people remember the past. Why do they remember the past? Because it brings us to the future. And if you don't understand the past, you don't understand the future. You think you know many, many things? As a matter of fact, I'm voting for Trump, by the way. I hope he runs in. But I want you to understand, you're talking about the past because this is what we celebrate? We celebrate the past because it brings us to the future. And what you're doing is...
Well, but I would say that concentrating on the present might bring you to the future more effectively than worrying about what happened with King Haman 800 years ago.
Friend, we understand the future and the present.
Well, why don't you pay attention to the present, that we have the most anti-Israel administration, including all the Democrats, in your lifetime? Why don't you pay attention to that fact?
I want to tell you, the Jewish people...
Again, you're not hearing me, Boris. The Democrat administration, put Obama aside, the Democrats in New York, who are supported to the 99th percentile by New York Jews, are the most anti-Israel Democrats in history. How come they don't? Why don't they talk about that instead of what happened with King Haman?
Listen, my friend, am I going to talk? You going to let me talk?
What do you mean? It's your radio show now? You want to take control? I'm not one of your students in Cheder who has to listen to you. You're not talking to a schmuck off the street here who doesn't know the past. I know more about history than you may think. But I am telling you, it's wonderful to dance if you're 4 years old. But to sit and get drunk and talk about Purim today is a travesty, as far as I'm concerned, for an adult man in this time when we have the most anti-Israel administration in history. That's what you should be talking about, in my opinion. Then maybe the Jews can go forward tomorrow.
Understand the following. the Orthodox Jewish people are 90% Republican.
Oh, I know this. You're not telling me anything I don't know. Then why are you engaging in talking about King Haman when we have a King Haman in the White House?
So that's why we want him out. We understand what it is more than the people that don't have a past. The people that don't have a past, the Jewish people that unfortunately don't have a Jewish education, they voted for him because they don't know what it is. So they don't recognize a Haman.
Well, now you're making sense. Now you're making sense, but you're talking to someone who knows the past. How come you can't reach Woody Allen or Larry David who mock Israel and America? How come you can't reach that type?
They're the same as you because you think you're so smart you have all the answers. You don't have all the answers.
All right, so now you're putting me in the category with Woody Allen. I really appreciate the support you're giving me, Boris.
But do you understand the reason for that?
Oh, let me get on my hands and knees and worship the great Boris. Let me worship the great Boris now. Let him humiliate me because he's such a religious man.
That's you missing the point. And you know what?
No, I'm not missing the point. You have survived by browbeating innocent boys who have no chance to debate you because you have all the power over them. I'm not one of those boys, Boris. See, you have a holier-than-thou attitude, Boris. That's your problem. Is you think that because you're religious, you're superior to everyone else. That's another problem. And it's not limited to any religion. It's a problem for all religious people, whether it's Muslim, Jew, or Christian. Look at what just went on in the religion here with that moron Glenn Beck running around saying that if you're a real Christian, you wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. You'd vote for Ted Cruz, the phony. Here's another example. Whenever your people use religion to beat people up with their religion, are they really religious? What's he asking his wife for the answer? I don't know what's going on in the background. Millie is giving him the real answer. Finally, someone stood up to the tyrant. The religious tyrant, someone stood up to him. So Millie, he had to turn to Millie. All right, Boris, look, God bless you. If you want to dance and get drunk today and talk about the past, good luck to you. That's all. Now, I knew this would happen. The minute you get involved with this, with religion, the fanatics call and they get mad at you. I do not know why an adult would get involved in these holidays, especially when so much evil is occurring right in front of their eyes. If they would say, okay, we're going to talk about Purim today, and while we're talking about Purim, we're going to talk about the oppressed girls in the Middle East who are being raped, kidnapped, raped in the Middle East, and they're Yazidi girls. Or if they would say the Muslims are running wild in Europe because of the weakness of liberalism, and this is the new Haman that we have to talk about. Haman is no longer a man. Haman is a philosophy, and that Haman of today is liberalism, and this Haman must be stopped before we all become enslaved by him. Then I would say that would be the new Haggadah. But, you know, I could only do so many things at once. I could write a new Haggadah for people who understand politics, and then I would say it would be okay, but I don't know what the getting drunk is. Every holiday is another one. They get drunk on vodka. I never saw so much drinking in my life than when I hung around with the Orthodox Jewish people who I love very much. Every other day, that another reason to get drunk. Not a bad idea. And then I found that I could do the same thing at Joe's Bar. And then I found that I could just buy a bottle of vodka and drink at home and watch television. All right, I'm being a little sarcastic. If you want to do it socially, wonderful. I had wonderful times when I did it with the old guys. They were great. Some of them were magnificent, wonderful, intelligent men who knew a lot. They had common sense and they had wisdom. But there was an awful lot of drinking, by the way, and that came from the Russian tradition. Every other minute, another salute with a vodka. That's not Jewish. That's an adaptation from the times of living in Russia or Poland. Every minute, another salute, another drink. There had nothing to do in the villages. There were long, dark nights. There was no HBO. So after a long day of working in the fields and praying, what are they going to do at night? They told each other myths and fables and tales and got drunk. Nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying it was bad. If they had instead spent the time learning martial arts with rakes and hoes and taught their young boys how to kill the Cossacks the next time they came to rape their wives, that would have been better than talking about Haman. Like the Chinese did. The Chinese monks, by the way, developed all the ancient martial arts because they didn't want to be killed by the robbers of the time. And so these peace-loving Chinese monks developed various schools of martial arts. And what did they use for weapons, tools that they use in the everyday life? Rakes, hoes, a bench. Whatever they had at hand, they learned to turn into a weapon, and they honed their skills as often as they could by practicing over and over again. And that is why they were able to survive the bandits. And that's a missing link in the Jewish people. And the only time it came to the forefront in a positive way was in Israel. Because the Israelis learned that they had to march in the fields with one hand on a Bible and one hand on an Uzi. And that's why the Israelis are still here. At least that's one man's opinion. I hope I've not offended too many people. There was no malice intended. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. Cultural genocide being committed right now by the Muslims around the world. Sorry you have to hear this right now. Here's a story that will make your blood boil. 2 days after the slaughter by Muslims in Brussels, there was a makeshift memorial, again, with the Western stupidity. Balloons and flags and candles. You know, the weakness of the West is shown in the balloons and candle thing. Nevertheless, it's what people have to do. A woman in a hijab rips up an Israeli flag that's in the memorial and covers it with a Palestinian flag and then walks away while 1,000 people are watching. The video has become, as they say, viral. She lifts a Palestinian flag, rips an Israeli flag to shreds, hides the pieces of the flag under other flags, and walks off. This is cultural genocide by Muslims, and this is right after a terror attack. She does it with impunity because they're committing a cultural genocide around the world. You'd think someone would say, hey, stop it. Nothing. You hear all the in the background with the cameras. Everyone's of a... No one says a word to the Palestinian terrorist there ripping up the flag. Not one word. She steps on the memorial and imposes her hatred upon a memorial because nothing is sacred to her except her Quran. So that's what's going on. Is going on here, too. Again, if you say a word, they call you names. They call Trump Hitler, Mussolini. And so that's why terror is highly likely in this country, because they have beaten us through a cultural genocide, which will precede an actual genocide unless the people awaken. And that's why I'm saying to you, for Jews to ignore the world today and live in the past is disturbing. I don't know, maybe people don't understand where I'm coming from. Brandy on KSFO, go ahead, please.
Hello. I just want to say that I agree with you 100% that the Jewish people should be more concerned about what's happening now than dancing and drinking about what happened in the past. And I don't mean to disrespect the Holocaust or any of those things that have happened. My son is half Jewish. I'm half black, half white. And my son is 19 years old, and he could care less. And I see a lot of Jewish people having a good old time going to Europe, and they don't even seem concerned at all that Jews are being stalked and Christians as well. I happen to be a Christian, by the way.
Right, Brandy. Of the immigrants from the Middle East that your dear leader has let in, 97% are Arab Muslims, 3% are Christians. He is trying to Islamicize the United States of America, all the while pretending to be a benign, nice liberal. He is anything but a benign, nice liberal. He is committing an act of cultural vandalism against America. Let me put it in those terms. I thank you for calling. Not everybody would agree with her, nor with me. Some of you are angry at me, and you're entitled to your anger. And as my father would say in his little story, at a sign, don't go away, man, just go away.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
A lot of topics, some were arguing over, and some we're not arguing over. We'll go back to the argument over the value of celebrating ancient holidays in a moment. This just came out that you're not going to believe it. I mean, I wouldn't read it. I would go right to Purim if I didn't have to. This is not laughable. It shows we've lost the war of terror on terror already. Now, Trump says he would do waterboarding and more, and he's the only one. Well, him and Cruz, by the way, would be tough enough to protect us. All of the others are worthless. They're going to get us all killed. They're going to enslave us because they've enslaved us mentally already. This crosses race. This crosses religion. This crosses culture. Either you want to live or you want to die. And if you want to live, you can't vote for any of these leftists because they've killed us already. Proof? Here it comes. They captured the guy who was the so-called mastermind behind the Paris massacre. He's not a mastermind. He's a filthy coward. So they had him in captivity. And they were quizzing him. And for 4 days before the Brussels bloodbath by his fellow Muslim brethren, they quizzed him for only 1 hour because the murderer said he was too tired for further questioning. And according to the rules of the European Union, you cannot question a prisoner who says he's too tired. So Salah Abdel Salam was questioned by police in Belgium for just 1 hour and 4 days. In Paris, rather. So he was in custody. He was only quizzed for 1 hour between his arrest and Tuesday's attacks because he was too tired to be questioned. Now, they could have stopped the plot, but they weren't allowed to. They were not allowed to interrogate him any further. They certainly couldn't waterboard him. Larry David doesn't approve of that. That would make Donald Trump a Nazi or a fascist or a Mussolini. And as you know, liberals have said for years, they'd rather see 99 guilty men go free than one innocent man be arrested. You know that. That's the mantra of the NYU crowd. And so liberalism, the mental disorder, marches on in its dance to the death. The hour-long interrogation at a prison on Saturday produced no intelligence about the impending attack because investigators took a chronological approach. First, they asked him about the Paris attacks in November. This is even though they had discovered bomb-making materials and his fingerprints at a Sharbeck safe house days before and mounting evidence that the terrorist cell was about to strike. Because of the rules of liberalism, they couldn't question him for more than 1 hour. And the minute the terrorist said, I'm tired, they had to stop questioning him. So I ask you, I don't care if you're white or black or Hispanic or Asian. I don't care if you're old or young or gay or straight. I don't care if you're whatever. You want to live or you want to die? You want to go on with the dance of death that has been induced upon us, this hypnosis of liberalism? Well, if you do, you're listening to the wrong show because I'm not ready to die yet. I hope you're not ready to die yet either. And that's why I support a guy like Trump. Despite everything I know is this and that and that and this. I get it. And the reason I don't support Cruz is manifold. You want me to lay it out for you? Very smart man, very articulate, knows all the facts and figures. But he's not an outsider. He's an insider. He's a senator. What in the world is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you? Keep saying to yourself, he'll do this, he'll do that. He's been a senator for a number of years. Where is the outsider in him? What kind of argument are you making that he's an outsider ready to change the system? He's part of the system, and his wife, Heidi, who's in the news now, works for a very fine investment bank called Goldman Sachs. So what are you talking about? He's anti-bank all of a sudden. And by the way, while you're doing your fact-checking on Ted Cruz, look into 2013 when he wanted to pass a bill that would have brought in hundreds of thousands of more Middle Eastern Muslims. These are uncomfortable facts, and they're incontrovertible facts. And no matter how many historical records you want to lean on, it's not going to change the reality that he's an insider and he's just like all the rest of them. And that's why Trump is winning. And this election's going to hang, boy, on a very few votes at the end of the day. It's one of the things that motivates me. I had a friend call me last night. He said, Michael, he said, look, he says, don't give up on this. He said, you're going to play a major role in who becomes president. I said, what are you talking about? He said, Michael, think about it. You have millions of listeners. No matter what the million number is, actually, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million, doesn't really matter. Add up the internet. It's millions of listeners. He said, every election is decided by a very small differential. And he said, your show can swing the election if you continue to explain why you're backing Trump despite all of the reservations that many of us have about his showmanship. Let's put it to you that way. And the facile nature of his campaign. But we're not stupid. We understand it. He speaks in sound bites. He doesn't give that many facts. But the fact is that the election will hang, he said, on a few million votes across this country. And he said, Michael Savage, you can play a major role in saving the nation. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, God put you on the earth for this. Well, I don't know about God putting me on the earth for this, but there's some explanation for what keeps me going. It's certainly not only the paycheck. It's not for the power lunches that I have out of a cardboard box while doing a radio show. It's not for the accolades I get at various conservative or Republican events because I'm never invited to them. It's not for the drama of being on television because none of them will have me on their networks. So what am I here for? I'm here because I believe it's important to save the country. I have a grandchild. I don't want her enslaved. I don't want her in a hijab. I don't want her in a burqa. I don't want her in a burqa. Did you hear what I said? She's not going to be in a burqa. You're not going to submit her. You're not going to submit me. Did you hear me? You want me to start breaking things right now? Because I'm about to start smashing things on the table. And I'm not going to, because I'm a radio talk show host. I'm not a politician. But if we're going to continue down this road of the left, where they can't interrogate a suspect for more than an hour if he says, time out, I'm tired, you think it's any different here? Do you think it's any different here? Ask your police if they can interrogate people the way they need to interrogate them. You got a bomb ticking, and they can't do what they have to do. I'd rubber hose them. Waterboarding, that's the least that should be done to them if there's an impending terror attack. What is wrong with you people? Are you that sick? No, the answer is not you're sick, you're suicidal. But just because you liberals are lemmings running off cliffs of drugs, sex on a constant basis, medication, drugs, medication, and stupidity, that doesn't mean you're going to take the rest of us over the cliff with you. You lemmings keep running, but don't think you're going to pull us over the cliff with you. I said it the other day, and I'll say it again. There are 30 million of us who are not going over that cliff. And we're ready to fight for this country. And if fighting means using my mind and my voice, that's what I mean by fighting for me. That's what I do every day. I read a story like this. They couldn't interrogate him for more than an hour because he said he was tired. They could have possibly stopped the Belgian attack. But because of the rules of liberalism, they stopped when he said he was tired. Oh, no, tired, time out. Same here, CIA recruiting transgenders. That's the highest priority now of the CIA, is to diversify the CIA. Now, I wouldn't care personally if a guy wore panties and the high heels and he was the best spy in the world, but that's not what they're looking for. They're not looking for people who can do the best job of spying. They're looking for people who could do the best job of filling out an application and fulfilling a quota. Now, if you think that a nation can survive doing that, you're insane. Take a look at what it's done to our universities. Our once great universities are cesspools of stupidity and political insanity. Ask anyone who's there. They'll tell you what's going on, except in the very hard sciences. And even there, they've been politicized. You go into a geophysics department, they have to talk about global warming, even though most of them know it's a lie. They don't get the funding. Because the tyrant in the White House has such a tight grip on virtually every avenue of thought in this country that independent minds need not apply. And now, my friends, we go back to the topic that we talked about in the last few hours. Which is, I had an argument with a religious Jewish man where he was talking about Purim and I should do this and that. I said, I don't celebrate Purim. I think it's a child's holiday. And I'm not interested in talking about King Haman from a thousand years ago. I'd rather talk about the enslavement today going on in the Middle East by Muslims amongst Yazidi girls rather than hear about Jews 1,000 years ago in Persia and eat with the candy and drink the vodka and make a fool of myself. So they got mad at me. That's all. So I walk alone. That's what we have to do. So what do you want to talk about? That? I don't really want to argue with anyone over that. I don't think we who actually agree with each other need to get angry at each other. Yeah, there's a lot to be angry about, but I'm not here to stir you up. Here's Obama making a mockery of the United States of America in South America, abusing the privilege of the office. And as I said in the last hour, if you were to take the most vulgar couple from Hollywood, I don't even want to name them, but I want you to think of the most vulgar Hollywood couple there is, an embarrassment to the human condition. They make a mockery of themselves every day. They couldn't do a worse job of embarrassing the United States and the presidency itself than what these two are doing right now. He flew two Air Force Ones to South America so the wife and kids could fly to tourist locations, and you phony liberals have nothing to say about that? How do you get up in the morning? I want to know how you people who call yourself progressives or liberals get up in the morning and don't puke looking at yourself when you say nothing about the excesses of this vulgar couple in the White House. You talk about global warming and the guy flies two Air Force Ones to South America and that doesn't hit your radar. Why? Because you didn't read about it in the newspaper? Because old Blinky Blitzer didn't tell you about it and make an issue of it? Because, well, I don't have to go down the list. I've done it too many times. It's not funny anymore, the names I give them. And the names will stick, believe me, they always do. So I think I'm going to take a quick break, and then I'm going to come back and take your calls, probably on tradition and current events, and what tradition has to offer us with regard to survival skills, because that's what it comes down to me, for me. To me, it's all about survival. And so if a holiday has no meaning for survival, I'm not interested in it. I'm telling you the way it is. I mean, I'm sorry if it disappoints you. If I sit down with fellow Jews at a Passover ceremony, and I keep hearing about the Jews were slaves in Egypt, and we overcame slavery in Egypt, and let's eat them. Why don't you tell me about the enslavement of little girls right now in the Middle East and what you're going to do about it? That would make you a justified, that would justify your, let us say, your reason for living. What are you sitting and talking about a thousand, 5,000 years ago in Egypt? What's the point of that? I don't understand it. What is the point of that? What do you learn from it that gives you the strength to go on? And what does it do to help anyone who's enslaved right now in the Middle East by these monsters? If you could answer that question, you'll be quite a sage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2610. Keep looking at the past, pay no attention to the present, and hope for the best. That's all. All right, let's take some calls. Yehuda on WABC, you've been holding a long time. Please make your case. What's your topic?
I want to give you Purim 101 because you don't understand Purim, so what you're saying is sort of irrelevant. So if you let me speak, I'll tell you the basics of Purim.
Well, you already spoke, and all you did was try to talk down to me, so you're ready. You have one strike. Go on for strike two.
Well, number one, Haman was not the central figure of Purim. The central figure of Purim, there were three people. There was Ahasuerus, who was the king of Persia.
Can you stop giving me the whole Megillah here? What's your main point?
That's exactly my point, was to give you the whole Megillah because you don't understand it. And if you let me...
Right, I know, I'm not as good as you. I'm not as enlightened as you, or I get that. So help me as a dumb man who's not as enlightened as you, Rabbi, to understand why grown men still celebrate Purim in this day and age and pay no attention to the atrocities of our time.
You know, we are paying attention to the atrocities. If you let me speak for 2 minutes about the Megillah, you will understand.
It's too long. A few minutes of airtime is very valuable. If you can't make it a minute or less, you're not making a point at all. I learned that a long time. Isn't there an essence of what you're trying to say, Rabbi?
I'm not a rabbi. I'm just a Jew. I'll make it.
All right, so just a Jew. Isn't there something you could say in less than a minute? Or must everything be a whole story, a whole Megillah?
Yeah, okay. Ahasuerus was the king of the world, and he was a materialist.
Okay, I can't take this. I'm sorry. I'm not a two-year-old sitting here at your feet. Stop it already. No wonder the religion is shrinking. People have no ability to listen to this anymore. I'm sorry. They don't want to hear it anymore about it. Stop it already. Give a young child the relevance of your religion, and they'll come flocking. Now, unfortunately, the Muslims have given meaning through their hatred. Oh, yeah, it's in their Quran. And who said that? Not me. There's a fabulous article out 2 days ago in USA Today called The Quran's Deadly Role in Inspiring Belgian Slaughter by Nabil Qureshi, a Muslim himself. So I think you should listen to modern young Muslim men and women who know how deadly it is to take the Quran literally. And watch out, you traditionalists, because you're stepping right into a landmine here. Here's what it says. Western recruits for jihad are inspired by the literal interpretation of Muslim sacred texts. This is what we must fight. And he talks about San Bernardino. He talks about that. And he says, I was a Muslim growing up in the United States. I was taught by my imams and the community around me that Islam is a religion of peace. My family modeled love for others and love for country. My father served in the U.S. Navy throughout my childhood, starting as a seaman and retiring as a lieutenant commander. He said, I believed wholeheartedly a slogan often repeated at my mosque after 9/11. The terrorists who hijacked the planes also hijacked Islam. But then he said he began to investigate the Quran and the traditions of Muhammad's life for himself in college. And here's what he wrote. I found to my genuine surprise that the pages of Islamic history are filled with violence. How could I reconcile this with what I had always been taught about Islam? He said, then in February 2015, State Department moron Marie Harf suggested that a lack of opportunity for jobs is a significant factor in radicalization and terrorism. And he laughed at it. He thought it was insanity, and he's a Muslim himself. Well, the rest of the article, I've linked it up on michaelsavage.com. Your one-stop shop for good ideas. I mean, there's lots of big sites out there, and some of them are great. Mine is focused. It's like a laser beam. Read this article by a Muslim about the dangers of the traditions of the Quran. That's killing us on the planet today. What did I just say? Think about it. It's the Islamic religion that has been so-called hijacked by the terrorists who are taking the Quran and interpreting it literally, who are killing everyone around them. So how does that fit with your theory that tradition will save us? Maybe some traditions need to be reinterpreted. So I'm reading from an article in USA Today by a Muslim young man who was raised in America, whose father was in the Navy, who was a very peaceful man, and he said that the more he studied the Quran, the more he realized the Quran itself preaches hatred and violence. So I'm going to quote him now in case you want to try to crucify me. Think very carefully. This is a Muslim who has blown the whistle on what's behind this terror. And I'll read from his article. The Quran itself reveals a trajectory of jihad reflected in the almost 23 years of Muhammad's prophetic career. He writes, as I demonstrate carefully in my book, starting with peaceful teachings and proclamations of monotheism, Muhammad's message featured violence with increasing intensity, culminating in Surah 9, chronologically the last major chapter of the Quran, and its most expansively violent teaching. He says the message of the Quran culminates in its ninth chapter. So let's look at the ninth chapter just quickly and see how wonderful this tradition is for those of you who celebrate tradition and tell us it will lead us to the future. In some cases, it will lead us to our graves, our early graves. So he writes this. He's a Muslim. He writes, Surah 9 is a command to disavow all treaties with polytheists and to subjugate Jews and Christians so that Islam may... so that Islam may prevail over all religions. He's quoting now, 933. He says, it is fair to wonder whether any non-Muslims in the world are immune from being attacked, subdued, or assimilated under this command. Muslims must fight according to this final chapter of the Quran, and if they do not, then their faith is called into question, and they are counted among the hypocrites. If they do fight, they are promised one of two rewards, either spoils of war, that means raping and kidnapping young girls, stealing everything that they can grab their hands on, or heaven through martyrdom. He writes, Allah has made a bargain with the Mujahid who obeys kill or be killed in battle and paradise awaits. So now you understand where they're coming from. So then he says, well, what's the solution here? He says, Muslim thought leaders agree that the Quran promotes such violence, and he quotes them. So if you think I'm a bad guy, it means you're a fool. Majid Nawaz, co-founder of the Quilliam Foundation in the UK, has said, we Muslims must admit that there are challenging Quranic passages that require reinterpretation today. Read it for yourself. And if you want to listen to Care, who says that this is wrong, what I'm saying, then you know which side they're on. They're on the side of those who take the Quran literally, and they have no place in America, in my opinion. So he says, I want to make clear that while ISIL may lure youth through a variety of methods, it radicalizes them primarily by urging them to follow the literal teachings of the Quran and the Hadith, interpreted consistently and in light of the violent trajectory of early Islam. As long as the Islamic world focuses on its foundational text, he says, we will continue to see violent jihadi movements. Who wrote this? A right-winger, a right-wing white guy who's going to vote for Trump? No, it was written by Nabil Qureshi, a young Muslim man in America. He says, any solution, political or otherwise, that overlooks the spiritual and religious roots of jihad can have only limited effectiveness. Bravo to him. Thank God he is speaking out. I only wish he was teaching this instead of the front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood, who have penetrated virtually every agency of the U.S. government. Nabil Qureshi can be read in his article, The Quran's Deadly Role in Inspiring Belgian Slaughter. I think it's on michaelsavage.com. I'll make sure it is by tonight. You should print it up for yourself. Now let's go to a caller or two. Gwen, KKAT Radio in Utah. What's on your mind, Gwen? Go ahead, please.
Well, my point is that you may be the Esther for this day and time, just as it was kind of uncanny how your friend said that you might be placed here by God for such a time as this, and that's almost the exact words that Mordecai said to Esther in going into the king and pleading for the Jewish people.
I am pleading for the soul not only of the Jewish people but of the whole Western world. Yes, I'm pleading for them to come to their senses before they're dead or enslaved. That's what I'm doing. There's only so much you can do when you have such mockery coming out of Hollywood and the media. There's a limit to what you can achieve. Remember, I'm the outcast. I'm not allowed on Fox News. I'm not allowed on any media outlets. You have to ask yourself why. A man's written 30 books. He's got a big audience. You think they want it? They call obscure talk show hosts who no one ever heard of. They don't want me. What's the reason for that? What in my message frightens them so much?
Well, because they're all controlled and they don't want somebody pointing out what's going on. And that's what Donald Trump is doing.
Yes, exactly. See, Trump and I are very similar in our roles right now. He certainly on a broader stage than I. But almost everything he says could have been heard on this radio show over the last 20 years.
I've been listening.
So thank you for calling me an honorary Esther. I appreciate that. I don't mind. I'm Esther. Esther's good. As long as I'm not Esther's pet horse, I'm happy. Joseph on KLIF, line 6. That's a joke. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'll agree with the previous caller as well. But here's the essential theme of Purim, is that that God was behind the scenes working to put all the pieces into place. So that the result of that was, yes, that the Jews were saved from annihilation. But if you want to bring that into modern day, yes, I mean, perhaps you're Esther, perhaps Donald Trump coming onto the scene like he did is part of this bigger puzzle being put together.
Well, if you believe that there is a God in heaven who controls things, not directly, maybe indirectly, you'd have to say that Trump is God's right hand. And I'm going to leave it at that. I know many people want to use God for this and God for that. We need to fight the religious fanatics with someone equally strong from our side instead of the limp-wristed creature that we have in the White House right now who seems to take pleasure in attacking everything decent about this nation and celebrating the worst excesses of the planet, such as dancing with the devils in Cuba. That's it. I mean, sickening. He'll come back when Wednesday's coming home tonight. The big boss comes back tonight with the two Air Force Ones. Will he leave the family behind with a little Air Force One to continue their tour? After all, they're still on spring break. There's plenty of money to milk out of the system yet before they leave. Ah, it's awful. You know, he's exactly the tyrant. He's the exact image of what a tyrant is, short of the prison camps. He's acting like a tyrant. A bully and a tyrant gets away with anything he wants. And he knows he can do anything because no one even challenges him. Wolf Blitzer doesn't even say one word about the excesses of his travels. Fox News, nothing. They shake the leg. All they do now is shake a leg with a shoe on it. I don't listen to them anymore. I look at Fox News, I flip through it, and generally I'm bored. I see a woman shaking a shoe and switching a leg. I don't know what they're talking about anymore. All they do is laugh like a girl's show. It's like a conservative The View, but no different. No different. They're the same thing. What are they really saying? Do they take on these topics? I hope so. I don't know. I'll listen to them. Not at all. 855-407-282. We're talking about the various subjects of the day. We're talking about the meaning of religious holidays and how literal do you want to get with them. And when you see that the story came out today that they were interrogating one of the terrorists behind the Paris bombing for 4 days, prior to the bombing in Belgium, and they only let him for 1 hour to interrogate him because he said he was tired. And by EU rules, the limp-wristed rules of the liberals in Europe, they weren't allowed to proceed with the interrogation? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? We're in the 12th... You know, I used to love the concern of the scientists about the clock. About they would show a ticking clock and we were at hour 11:59, 1 minute to midnight, right? The anti-nuke scientists, where have they gone? They become global warmists. They switched gears and made a fortune. There was no longer any money in the anti-nuke movement, so all of the pointy-head libs in the universities who were showing with the clocks were 1 minute to midnight. They switched over to global warming. Now they made a fortune. They have nothing to say about global terrorism, nothing to say the dangers of the Quran itself, nothing to say about the dangers of bringing in psychopaths from the Middle East who are bringing in their throwback interpretations. Nothing. They're worrying about global warming because there's money in it. So we need a new president. We need a real new president. Well, I don't know if you're interested in this. I think it's terrific. I think it's a great topic for today because to many religious Jews, and there's not that many religious Jews in the world, you know, let them enjoy themselves. They want to eat candy and dance and drink vodka. God bless them. But to me, it has no relevance whatsoever. I don't understand why they're dancing about something that happened so long ago when they should be focused on what's happening today. And if all of the Israelis were to behave like that, there'd be no Israel tomorrow. I want you to think about what I just said. If every Israeli took the day today to get drunk and dance and eat sweets, they'd be overrun in about 1 hour. So all I can say is remain vigilant or you won't be here tomorrow. Period. But if you have a different opinion, I respect it. What would you like to talk about? Some very, very good callers on this. I don't know who's the best on this whole Purim thing. I don't know if we want to do this. Two? I can't see. Is that two? Okay. Nathan from WFTL in Florida, in Fort Lauderdale. And sorry, they're up in West Palm Beach. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Well, I think that your interpretation is exactly what Purim is about. In Purim, there's no miracle, no God, no passing over, no splitting of the Red Sea. It's something Jews do for themselves. They fight. They defend themselves, just like they do in Israel. Purim is, in many respects, the most important holiday. Even Yom Kippur means day like Purim.
So what are you saying, that when a child goes and sees adults getting drunk and eating candy and acting like a fool, they're learning how to defend themselves?
No, what I'm saying is you're celebrating. I don't do any of that stuff. I'm not religious. But what I'm not saying about Purim is you're defending, you're celebrating because this is something that Jews did. They defeated their enemies in battle. Just like Israel.
Right. Wonderful. So why don't they teach their children martial arts instead of getting drunk?
They do. A lot of them do.
Why don't they switch the Purim holiday over to a day of self-defense? You know, modify with the times and there'll be no Jews left on the planet. I'm a little sick and tired of the whole bubble of schmubble with the bagels and lox. It gets me sick.
Yeah, but
it yields Woody Allen and David and Larry David. That's what you wind up with. And I'll tell the story again, over and over again. Over and over again. I'll say it over and over and over again. Shall I say it over and over again? You know, there's a famous story of the Bielski brothers. And these were three brothers in Poland who they saw their parents and brothers being killed. They were plain farmers. And their parents and brothers were killed. They luckily escaped. They fled into the woods. And I told the story at length once, and it was about how guns saved 20,000 Jews. I wrote about it, how guns saved 20,000 Jews. It's a very important story. I read the biography that one of the brothers wrote, and I think there was a movie with Daniel Craig years ago called Defiance that did a fairly good job about this whole history of the survival of these people. And what I'm saying to you is that's the kind of story that I'd like to teach children of what they have to do to survive. It's not about getting drunk and eating candy. It's about learning the tools of survival, which so many of you already know. I'm preaching to the choir here. There are millions of people in this country who do this already. You know, I love the movie recently, American Sniper. And it opens with the father teaching the sniper. As a young boy, he said, because his brother is picked on by a bully at school in Texas. And he, as the older brother, gets into a fight with the bully, comes home bloody with his clothing dirty, and the father says to him, that's okay, you're a good boy. He said, there's two types of men on this earth, son. Real tough Texas kind of family. I love them. And he said, there are the sheep. He said, there's sheep, sheepdog, and the wolves. And he said, if the sheepdog doesn't stop the wolves, they will eat the sheep. And he said, you, my son, are going to be a sheepdog. And he raised them tough and mean. And they're the backbone of America. They're the Eddies I've been talking about. And it's time for the Eddies to be heard again. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-CO. Well, as the day draws to an end and most normal people go on to their lives, they go home, they watch television, they go to their family, I'll end the show by saying to you this, this stupid thing between Cruz and Trump was started by Cruz's people over the wives. And now he's making anyone attacks Heidi, Mr. Tough Guy, Ted Cruz. But it was his campaign that featured a picture of Trump's wife from years ago that started the ball rolling. So Trump defended his wife, and now, of course, he's acting like he's the injured party. You know, a classic liberal move. I don't trust Ted Cruz. He's slimy. There's a sliminess about him. Cruz to Trump, you're a sniveling coward. Leave Heidi the hell alone. Big deal. Very, very dignified, Ted. But if you look into Ted Cruz, you'll see that Ted Cruz pushed to dramatically expand Muslim migration in 2013. I didn't make it up. Washington Examiner. Ted Cruz pushed to dramatically expand Muslim migration in 2013. Introduced along with Marco Rubio, pushing to open America's borders. The Washington Examiner's Paul Bedard noted in a new expose. Came out today. It's a big deal. Plans pushed by GOP presidential candidate Cruz under the immigration reform debate in 2013 that would have jumped the number of immigrants, including those from Muslim nations, were raised by the Trump campaign Tuesday, Bedard wrote on Tuesday. Under the Ted Cruz plan, yearly legal immigration would have gone from 740,000 to 1.6 mil. Donald Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski highlighted Bedard's report on Twitter, too. Well, you going to ignore that? You going to ignore that that's what Cruz did? He's an insider. So I don't support him. I said that to the reporter who interviewed me last night after the show. It'll be out this weekend, probably. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. How much of it will be in the New York Times article, I don't know. But he said, you people in talk radio have an inordinately powerful role to play in this election. Now, we'll see if he treated me fairly. I don't know if it'll even come out. But he asked about Cruz and about Trump and what will happen when they try to steal it from Trump. And we'll have to wait and see what part of it gets into the article. In the interim, I invite you to go to michaelsavage.com and to my Facebook page. And that's it. Have a nice night.